Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the BetaRank College Football Statistical Model, and your home for sharp college football. And the model's cooking. This is Brian Conger. Thank you for joining us. We're headed into week 12, almost rivalry week, but not quite. I'm joined, as always, by Rob Bauer. And Rob, first of all, we got to get something out of the way. Hold on.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
That's right. A dual 6-0 on the podcast. I'm back at 55% against the spread. The model's cooking. I'm feeling good. Everything is right in the world, Rob. I felt like I was like a ghost wandering around, and finally my soul settled where it needed to be. It's been great. It was a good week for us. The podcast is cranking. I was very excited with the results. How are you, sir?
I mean, I'm great. This is the second week in a row where BetaRank has an absolute error that is less than half a point different than Vegas's absolute error. Like, that's darn good.
It's beautiful. And overall, Rob, you know, we had talked about this being a stupid week, and it was. just in a different way that we had anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, this ended up being like the night of the long knives, right? Like, this was hopes, if you will. I mean, like, for the Pac-12 conference, right, really needing to get a one-loss conference champion, and we are down to one,
yeah,
right, after this. And that, I mean, and like, for the conference as a whole, I mean, like, if you are a fan of Washington or Arizona, you absolutely do not care. sorry for your losses, everyone. I'll be out here partying. But the you know, I think for everybody else in the conference, like, it is a little bit of a bummer, because I think the Pac-12 really did have an opportunity, a really good opportunity to get a one loss conference champion, which is, in this particular season, with the way things are setting up around other conferences in college football, would pretty much guarantee a spot in the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, again, like, nobody cares outside of those teams and outside of like us and like five other people that are big fans of the conference, because if you're on Twitter, like, Washington is just licking the sweet, sweet tears from Oregon. and to be like, we have a bunch of friends that are Oregon fans that are very sharp, you know, college football fans that get the Pac-12. They're feeling themselves a little bit coming into this game. There was a lot of talking about Bo Nix, about Oregon's offense and Oregon's defense. And ultimately it was the defense that ended up really letting them down. And the secondary has been a little shaky in Washington's pass offense.
They've been a lot of shaky. Right? There's somebody on another podcast, Pac-12 podcast, who has been like, no, I'll take Oregon's talent. And I was like, no, like, you should not. You should trade Oregon's defense for literally anyone else's.
Well, and to his, I mean, obviously Kalen DeBoer was awesome in terms of the play calling, but even more so, Michael Penix just threw some, and so did Bo Nix in that. That was just that was a fun game to watch. Both of those quarterbacks just dropped some dimes. There was a little bit of backlash against Penix because he had thrown a couple bad picks, but for the most part all year, he's been super fun to watch, and he can, and I get it. Like, it's kind of all or nothing with him, right? But the all, like, man, he just throws a beautiful deep ball, and he can throw those outs real hard. And he did. And he just made that secondary look foolish. And still, to Oregon's credit, like, Oregon hung in that game. And it was a bad start for them, right? Washington gets the touchdown pretty quickly, and Oregon was able to fight back. But ultimately, I mean, Washington deserved to win that game. They went on the road to Autzen and just put up the points that they needed. It was a fun game.
To their credit too. I mean, like, after Panics had that bad pick, like, they hung in there, right? And Oregon ended up making enough mistakes that Washington could win the game. Washington gets the win. You know, there's not an immense amount of space between these two teams, even in the model right now. That said, like, I mean, I think if you were going to play the game again, Oregon would be favored by Vegas. But, like, great win. But, I mean, Washington seized their opportunity that Oregon gave them in this game with the Ducks on mistakes.
Yeah. And we'll go through some of those mistakes here when we break down the game. We're going to do a review of last week. We're going to preview this coming week. If you're joining us, that's the model that we do. Let's do three general thoughts. What's another one that you have?
So, I mean, what's really interesting, and I want to call this out because I think this is a really good thing for the conference. Like, when I ran the model yesterday morning, like, I'm rubbing the sleep from my eyes because I actually stayed up to watch the whole freaking game, UCLA Arizona game. It went down to the wire. And as I'm like looking through the results, in VI, which is where I do my coding, I'm like, oh man, like the Pac, like the top seven of the Pac-12, like the lowest ranked team is Washington State at 31.
Nice.
That's the seventh team. And like, so the Pac-12 doesn't have any teams in the top 10, but like overall, yeah, like 1 through 7, they're all almost in the top 30. That's really good. I mean, compared to like the Pac-12 all of a sudden has what appears to be have made some good coaching hires, you know, and they have some actual honest to goodness, like, depth as a conference right now. What the Pac-12 lacks, which is what like the SEC and the Big Ten have, is they lack a real, real power that's in the top five. But you flip it around though, and then like the other half of the conference, like there's a big gap from 31, and then the next school is at Arizona at 65. And then after that, you've got four schools that are 80 or below in the Pac-12. And that's like, it feels like the conference suddenly, like, it feels like it has like if you're into math, like a barbell distribution, but it's like, it's, there's two conferences, right? Like, there is a very good conference, you know, not great, but very good. And then there's like some really bad teams, right? And and we've seen this, right? Like, if you're one of the lucky teams that gets most of the really bad teams on your schedule this season, like, you're going to pile up some wins against those teams.
Oh yeah. Nobody can play defense and you look great. Like, right. Yeah. I mean, I've seen this in the narrative nationally and regionally, where it's like, well, these offenses are great. Well, they are quite good. And some of them are excellent.
Yes.
They look even better because of because this is a John Edwards conference, right? There are two Americas, right?
Yes.
The haves and have nots are basically the Pac-12 right now. So, and if you look at some of the schedules that these teams are playing, like, even Washington has an awful defense. So Oregon's offense is going to look good against them because Washington's defense sucks. Now, is Oregon's offense good? Yes, it is good, and Bo Nix has done a good job. He's also played trash defenses, and he's done what any good quarterback should do against those defenses. So I don't want to take away from him, but it's more. This is one of the weeks where I wish bowl season actually mattered, because we would really see the flaws in these teams if they went up like in a Fiesta Bowl or like in the Holiday Bowl, when there was never like a real golden age of bowl games, but these games were more competitive in past years, and we're just not going to get that this year. We're like, I want to see somebody light USC the F up, and we might see that with UCLA this week. So I might get my wish early, but there's going to, you know, if they made, they were kind of like, they remind me of like a Notre Dame team, where like Notre Dame would always be overrated and go into they were like 0-9 over like a 9-year span in their bowl games, because they just, the projections of them always had them higher than they should be. And I do think that that's kind of the case with some of these teams in the Pac-12 when they play like a quality team on both sides of the ball.
Well, and to your point, right, like even within the conference, some of these very good offenses look like they ran face first into a wall when they faced the handful of decent defenses in the conference, right? Like USC has the number four offense in Vader Inc. right now. They looked like somebody had they looked like they had some post-COVID fog when they played Oregon State. Like they look completely out of sorts. And the same thing, like, I mean, like, Utah's got a decent defense. They're at 27. Washington State's got a decent defense at 23. And literally, that's it. Like, Oregon State at 15, two in the top, like, two more in the top 30. And then nobody else until you get to Cal at 63. This conference needs some defensive coordinators like Stat.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's break down every game from the previous week. Let's look forward to week 12, and let's do it right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We're talking Pac-12 football. A lot of games on the slate. If you're new to the show, what we do is we take a look at a matchup. We see how the previous teams did, the two teams did previously, and then we kind of look forward into the game that they have. And last week we said that this was, you know, a dumb week. This week is awesome. And it's not even just awesome like with the big games, right? You have USC at UCLA, you have Utah at Oregon, which are really the highlights. But I think Washington State at Arizona is interesting. And I even think like Oregon State at Arizona State is, again, it's very hipster, but I'm just curious to see how Oregon State does on the road, in the heat, you know, against a team that will likely have Emory Jones, so it might not be as you know, close of a game. But there's a lot of directions to go. Rob, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the dumbest game of the weekend, Stanford and Cal, the big game.
The big game. All right. So Cal is a 4.5-point favorite at home against Stanford. The total on this game is 46.5. So they're not expecting a lot of points. Cal just got waxed by Oregon State. This game was not close. It doesn't even look as close as the score was, right? Like it was like 30 to 7, like in the third quarter. Oregon State able to do what it needed to. And look, like I ended up taking Oregon State just because it is a tough place to play. You know, and it just seemed like Cal is a team that can keep, they can, even those friends that kind of, they barely have their life together all of the time. Like they make the meetings on time. You know, they show up on, but you could just tell it is a struggle bus for them to kind of to stick to their commitments. That strikes me as the Cal Golden Bears. And then, but the problem is with people like that is like once an emergency happens or once something happens that is unexpected, the wheels just collapse on the cart. And I think that's what happened in Corvallis this week. 38-10, the Beavs able to take care of business. And I was a little disappointed and Cal and what they were able to do on offense. And by a little, I mean a tremendous amount. But at the end of the day, look, Oregon State was able to take care of business. 6-3 is an excellent year for them, and they have the chance to do a little bit more damage.
Yeah. You know, like Oregon State was terrific in this game, and their defense is up to 15 overall in Beta Rank. They absolutely just dropped the hammer on a very bad Cal offense, to the point that Cal fired their offensive coordinator and offensive line coach.
Yeah, which by the way, It's like at the bar where you ring the bell when you get a big tip, like that. You know, we kind of, and Hipladay on the offensive line, and us too. We actually talked a little bit about him because he was at UCLA and he was a recruiter. Yeah. And it's like, well, good job, like recruit bad, you know, good players to a bad offensive line. He didn't do either, and both of those guys are gone. So ring the bell for them. I mean,
they held Cal to, and of course it's, there's some sacks in here too, but like it was less than a yard rushing per carry.
So gross.
I mean, Ott got 2.5 a carry. That's brutal.
And we had talked about him last week. I think he might be hurt because he was having a really good year at the beginning of the year, and just the numbers, it's like a roller coaster going down. I mean, eight rushes for 20 yards. I mean, they got to the point where Plummer was throwing the ball 34 times. And look, I would love for Cal to have an awesome offense. I think they have some interesting wide receivers. They have the tight end that's like the four-star player. At the end of the day, though, if you can't move the ball, like, I don't know if Cal under Musgrave is an offense where you want to see the ball thrown that many times and no touchdowns, one pick. And I mean, better than 50% completion rate, around 60. But at the end of the day, like, if you're Oregon State, this is exactly what you wanted, right? Like, just a smackdown, pack it in, move on to the next one and see what you can do. Like, any other takeaways from this one?
No, I mean, like, you got to give credit to the Beavs. I mean, they showed up, played hard, like, worked off of the defense, like, cashed in on a great field position, doubled up the Bears on yardage, like, just an overall dominant performance by them. And, I mean, it's true, too. I mean, like, Cal's defense isn't good. I mean, that's really, like, you've been able to sort of, like, hang your hat on that if you're Wilcox for the last couple seasons, but last year they fell off a bit, and this year they've fallen off even more significantly.
I'll be honest. I had that Utah-Stanford game on the second screen with the sound off. Now, I had it on, but there really wasn't a reason. I mean, the game was a little close in the first half, right? It was like 14-7, but you just kind of, even then, and when we were talking, I had mentioned, Stanford's probably good for 14 points. And you said, really? And you were right, man. 7 points. This game, I mean, what a mess. And you look at Cal making the decision to, this is such a dead horse that we're beating. I mean, it is what it is. 7 points in this game. Something has to change with Stanford. The team is what it is. But this is a rivalry game. And they're given 4.5, or they're catching 4.5. I don't think it matters. Like, I just think Cal's better. I was going to bet this game up to 7.
So the only thing that made this game sort of like close in that first half was like Utah didn't run the ball as much as they should have. That was it. And then eventually they're like, that'll work. And so they did. They just ran the ball. I mean, they did, like, and that opened up the throwing a little bit. But like the only thing that works on this frickin' Stanford team is the pass defense. Dwayne Aquino has still got some guys that can cover. Here's what worries me in this game. And here's Stanford's run defense is at 128 in effective rush. I think Cal's better than Stanford, right? Like, I think they'll be fine there. Like, Cal should be able to run the ball on Stanford. Beta Rank has this at 7 points for Cal. And I think Cal's defense, I mean, it's hard to see Stanford putting together any kind of offensive competency. Like, this switch to the slow mesh is one of the worst decisions I have ever seen.
Well, as you're saying that, I kind of had that moment where it's like, oh my, like where the mind explodes. Because you're right, because who's going to rush the ball, right? Ott has been a mess.
Right. That's the problem. Yeah. Is like who's going to run for them?
They clearly don't trust the backups, and Stanford does have a good secondary. So if Plummer has a big day, it's going to be against I'm using very heavy, like, four fingers for each air quote, the teeth of the Stanford defense. But that is the strength, and I don't know if I trust Plummer. I mean, the thing is, again, their receiving core is actually decent, but and if you flip it around, like, Cal isn't going to put, like, Cal wasn't able to put pressure on anybody. So right. I know there's a lot of, and one thing we should have mentioned with Stanford, there's a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Obviously their running backs are like, there are injuries and they're piling up for Stanford, but McKee might just have time. And how good is Cal's pass defense?
They're at 62 in effect. Like, they don't have a run pass split. Like, they're at 63 in overall in beta rank. They're at 65 in effective rush and 62 in effective pass. I mean, it is Stanford's at 79 in effective pass. They're at 98 overall offensively. They're going to put, like, Cal's giving up raw points per drive, 2.37, which is a pretty good number. Stanford's only putting up 1.54 against a mostly Pac-12 schedule. I tend to fall on the, like, look, I mean, I like the Bears. Like, I think that if I had to pick one thing that I am sure of is, like, I am pretty sure Cal can run the ball in this game. Just because Stanford is that bad stopping the run. But that said, like, when Cal of late, and gosh, they're on a losing streak, of late, when they have put up points, it has been with Plummer throwing the ball around a little bit. And I don't think that that's going to be there for them as much. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, if the other thing with Odd is like, who did he go off on? He went off on the other horrendous rushing defense in the Pac-12, Arizona. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Bears here.
Yeah, 4.5. Like, if this got to 7, I think I'd take – or 7.5, I'd take Stanford.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm going to bet this game either way. I'll take Cal. I had put in my notes to do to 7, and then I looked at the line. I think it opened at 4.5, and it's kind of stayed there. So, yeah, give me Cal, too. I do think that – like, if they lose, we'll know why. It's because they weren't able to get pressure, and McKee was able to light up the defense, and Ott just is for whatever reason, the production isn't there. But the rush defense is so bad for Stanford. So I think we'll know if Ott is injured if he gets, like, 60 yards in this game. I think that's probably the indication that, oh, yeah, that might be a problem. They got to have somebody behind him. That's the thing that's weird.
Yeah.
Is that, like,
I think if the running yards are there for the taking and Ott's not healthy, they've got to go to Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay. All right. We'll both take Cal. It's a bummer. Like, if it was the same team without the name Cal on it, I would just jump all over. But, like, I do think that because it's a rivalry game, I think Stanford's given up, but this might be the game where they, like, the game against BYU, that's the problem, right? Or, like, do they play Notre Dame yet? Oh, they beat Notre Dame. The BYU game, I think they're just going to get housed. So just keep that in mind.
I just don't understand, like, I mean, this game in particular, right? Like, you and I are not believers in that rumor that Wilcox got offered the Oregon job.
No.
Clearly that was not true. But, like, I do not, like, these two teams are so freaking bad. Like, the Bay Area football is in a really desperate spot. I mean, like, Cal just had to pull, like, the FTX, like, logos off the field because they had, like, crypto sponsorship.
Oh, were they FTX? Oh, no. That's terrible.
Like, it's funny because, like, the founder of that FTX company that, like, they did that just crumbled and they had to pull back is, like, her parents were Stanford law professors. It's all intertwined and going wrong.
Oh my gosh. So quick side note, so I was using BlockFi for interest because, you know, they're offering like 9%, and then I pulled that stuff out about 4 months ago, and I'm like, I think it's about time to just pack up and head home. And now I'm getting all these emails and they're like, oh, Mr. Conger, like, a lot of things have been happening here. And it's just like,
oh, no.
They're trying to explain very politely that no one's getting their money back. And, like, I think I have like $10 of interest. Like, I wasn't able to get a couple, like, of the coins out. I'm like, ah, what? Just, who cares? Like, it's but holy Moses, FTX, good Lord.
This is what happens when you have a bank run because you don't have FDIC insurance.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There's a reason they're offering that interest. All right. Moving on. Let's do the next game. Let's do Oregon State at ASU. Oregon State opened, I think it was at a 4.5 or 5.5 point favorite. That's now bumped up to 7.5. I set this at 7. And
okay.
I did it for a couple of reasons. The first is, like, I need to see Oregon State go on the road to do some stuff. It's going to be hot at ASU. I think ASU has still kept their life together for all the things that have happened to that team. I think they still are playing hard. They might not be playing well, but they're playing hard. And sometimes right. that means giving up a lot of yards on the ground, which makes me hesitant to take ASU.
It should, because they're one of the other really bad run defenses in the conference.
And the second thing, too, is Trenton Bourque. I think he made that offense better. And he's yes. I think he's going to be out of this game. Emory Jones ended up coming in, and he was okay. But if it's Emory Jones, like, I put a cap on the 7, assuming that Bourque was playing. And now that he's not, I think I'm still going to take Oregon State. I don't like the extra hook. That's a key number to work through. They got to go on the road. They're not the same team on the road. But break down this game here. I'm not sold yet either way.
So Betarank, this is one of the ones where the model sees this quite different than Vegas. Betarank has this as closer to 15 points here. And part of the reason here is that, as we talked about with, you know, Oregon State's defense, like, their defense is really good. Like, they're the best defense in the Pac-12. I think underneath, like, ASU is absolutely going to give up some points in this game.
Yeah.
They're at number 98 on defense. But they really struggle. They're at 108 in effective rush. Oregon State, this isn't like one of their better offenses. They're at 44 offensively, but they're at 33 in effective rush. I think they're going to be fine. Like, I think they're going to be able to show up and run the ball pretty well. They're not going to ask Gil Branson to, you know, go out and win the game with his arm or anything like that. And then to your point, you know, like, where this offense has really improved in the last couple of weeks has been that Aguano's now calling plays, and then they put in Bourque. But, like, if he's not playing, I really like this Oregon State defense a lot. I feel like it feels like I'm living in a different Spider-Verse
yeah.
saying that. But, like, they're really freaking good. And I think they have a shot to really come in and just shut down ASU. I don't know if there's a team in the conference it is more reliably weird than Arizona State, like, a couple times a year, where you remember that, was it like 2 years, like the game, like, where they were playing Washington State and they turned it over like 5 or 6 times or something like that. I felt like in like 10 minutes they just turned it over an insane number of times. That might have been last season, actually, but they like, you could sort of, like, ASU, like, weird stuff can happen with them, and it feels like this season maybe a little bit more. And so I'm with you. Like, I get, like, at ASU is a really dangerous spot, but I like Oregon State here. I understand where that line has moved up. I think a lot of people who run numbers are going to have either professional bettors or modelers like me are going to have Oregon State at higher than the 6 that it opened at.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, in Oregon State, just, and we just talked about Cal, you know, on the other side, Oregon State, Gil Branson, I think he's fine, right? Like, yeah. he's what is he, probably like the 7th best quarterback in the Pac-12, which is actually saying a lot for a freshman in a good, this is a good year for the Pac-12 on the quarterback side. Is that
right.
kind of in that range? He might even be a little better. I don't know.
I mean, like, we're talking about, like, the good Jaden Delora or the bad Jaden Delora. Like, but yes, he's like, he's in no way, like, gonna really hurt them with what they want to do. And truthfully, like, Oregon State is likely gonna have some pretty good field position in this game. And be able to work off of that. This should be broadly similar to the Cal game. The other thing to keep an eye on too is, like, Oregon State has a significant special teams advantage. They're at 35 in special teams. ASU is in 102.
Yeah.
Like, the Beavs should have a real good field position to work off of all game long.
Well, let's take a look at what ASU was able to do against Washington State. Almost a backdoor cover, right? They scored 12 points in the end of this game. For the most part, this game was out of reach, right? Like, by halftime, yeah. they almost had 30 points, and then scored none. So that's the one thing that worries me a little bit. But look, Nakia Watson is fine. Like, he's clearly better than the backups they have. And the little guy got injured, which was, I think Jenkins got injured. He played in this game, but he was out for a couple games, and so was Watson. And you look at that offense and you go, oh, gross. Because they really didn't have anybody to be able to run the ball. Both of those guys are back and healthy. So they were able to take care of business against ASU's rush defense, which is why I'm going to take Oregon State. I don't think Washington State's rush defense is that good. I think it's fine. They've just been really good against bad rush defenses, and here's another one. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, like, and one of the things that gives me some pause, like, and we'll talk about this when we get to the Washington State Arizona game, is like Washington State should have run the ball more. Cam Ward was bad in this game. Even by his standards against a bad defense. For ASU. I mean, in ASU's pass defense is a lot better than their run defense. They're in the 60s in their effective pass. But Cam Ward wasn't good, and it felt like Washington State really, really should have run the ball a lot more than they did. I mean, if you look at the called runs that they had, they only really ran the ball 28 times with their backs. Meanwhile, Ward threw it, or had a pass call on 42 times, which is a real bad mix for what you're getting up against ASU. Like you know you should just get in there and run the football against them. And truly too, like this game, ASU was completely shut out in the first half. Washington State didn't score in the second half. It felt like they weren't all that interested in the second half. I think they're going to struggle mightily against this Oregon. Like, cause like, this is true of like most teams that we talked about too. Like, when was the last time ASU played? The last time they played somebody with a decent, I guess it was Washington State, right? Like, this Oregon State defense is even better than Washington State's. Like, this is going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's a little weird because like I'm taking a favorite on the road in hot place with the team that, again, is still carrying itself a little bit. But I just think this is a bad matchup. And I don't think Emory Jones, right, he had a decent game against Washington State. I don't know if that happens against Oregon State. Again, like I feel like we're in a different universe where we're talking about Oregon State secondary. But I think it's decent. Yeah. I think Valaday's going to get his, but it's probably going to be like 130 and a lot of carries, and I don't think that's going to do it unless you have really Jones going out there and balling out. And he hasn't done it all year, so I'll take the Beavs. And it sounds like you're doing the same.
Yeah, give me the Beavs.
Okay, we need somebody to argue with us. Last week we picked all this. Oh, maybe not. We both went 6-0.
Like,
so
I feel like I don't know if it's a good thing if it feels like some of these are like, no, you should definitely take this team, right? Like, but I look at some of these games and I'm like, I'm definitely taking this other team. Like, there's.
Yeah, I was pretty close on the lines guessing it before they came out too. So I think we have more of a handle now that we're at week 12 and 14. I wish it was week 6. Usually we're locked in by week 6, but. All right, we're going to get to the other games. We're going to do it right after this.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back. And we've said this twice, Rob. And we've lost both of them. When a line comes out and we just go, well, that's bonkers. What the heck is that? And when I saw the line come out in the Washington State at Arizona game, Washington State's favored by 4. and the line went down, I just, my head exploded. I had this game at 10. Like, I don't know what, like, four. I get it. Arizona just beat UCLA. Arizona can be a tough place to play. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be like 11 in the morning. It's not going to be that hot. Maybe you'll get there. We're getting into the winter anyway. I thought this was a crazy line. You know, I guess we should talk about Arizona first, right? Because they go on the road and they straight up beat UCLA. And this game was weird and it was fun. And I think most of the weird and funness was on UCLA because there is no world. Like, we knew that Arizona was going to score points in this game. But the assumption and the reason it was a 20-point spread is because we assumed that UCLA was going to just get more points. And Arizona just, the defense looked different. And they were able to take advantage of the weaknesses. Well, I should back up. Jaden Delora was able to take advantage of the weaknesses, and by that means he ran around and just pulled things out of a hat. So, like, props to him. That's kind of why I'm a little worried for Arizona going on, going up against Washington State. I don't know if he has the chance to do that again. That just struck me as a quite unique performance, and you're going to get some good like that, and then you're going to get some bad similar to that, like when they played Mississippi State. So
I think there were two things that I would call out that in particular were different in this game. One was they took some of the decision making out of Delora's hands, in that he had more quick looks where he was supposed to get the ball out. And so, like, they had a lot more quick hitters for him in this game, and less like in this offense, when things go wrong, sometimes can devolve into Delora just sort of like scrambling around for time as all of the routes are breaking like 10 yards down the field. And Arizona hit a lot more. I mean, like, now some of the really big plays later on, to your point, came like with him scrambling around. But like, I think as a whole, Arizona just did a lot more like to try to like limit some of the bad Jaden, right? Like, cause there is some, right? Like, there where it's like third and one and he's throwing like a 40 yard bomb or something like that, you know?
Well, and he runs with the football. Like it's his arm isn't in a cast, like he can't bend it. So he's running with it out to his right. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, every time he runs, I have a heart attack. It's crazy.
But the other thing, which was very different, was Arizona brought heat. Like, they brought a lot of pressure. And this defense has overwhelmingly not, I mean, this is like very different from what they ran under Don Brown the year before. They just have not blitzed a lot this season, and it's like they were just like saving it all. I mean, I was joking. It was like somebody introduced Johnny Nansen to like cocaine during, only cocaine is blitzing. Like, he's like, oh man, like, what is this? This is amazing. I feel so alive. Let's do it all the time. Right? Like, and they blitzed so much in this game, you know, and they put like Thompson Robinson had a pretty bad game. You know, like, I mean, he threw for 245, you know, but his completion percentage was only okay. You know, and like they got UCLA to make enough, again, like they hung around and scored points against a really bad UCLA defense. And UCLA made enough mistakes that Arizona was able to pull it out.
Yeah. Zach Charbonnet got his. He made Arizona's defense look stupid, like he makes everybody's defense in the Pac-12 look stupid. 23 carries, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns. And like every time he touched the ball, I'm like, oh, sweet Moses. Like, please.
7.5. It's not like that's all one long run. His longest run of the night was 37 yards.
Yeah. He just he didn't knock him out. He just hit them in the gut over and over and over again. And UCLA had the chance to win the game, right? Like, there's that last pass to Bobo. If it was thrown a little bit more, I think it gets hit. But like, I think Delora was under pressure. Not Delora. Thompson Robinson was under pressure, which was kind of the story of the game, where Arizona was able to push him around and kind of get him to do things. And I think one of the things that was interesting for me was like DTR talks like a lot. I love it. Like, he's a good player at this point. Like, and he's just talking trash and stuff. And Arizona, like, just hung around that whole game and just really gave it back to him. I don't think Arizona is going to replicate this performance against Washington State. We already talked.
I want to call, like, one thing worth calling out here is, again, like, UCLA did something really dumb here. So you have 39 attempts for Thompson Robinson here. You have another 11 rushes, most of which were called pass plays that he would scramble on, which means they only truly called to either Charbonnet or Yankoff 26 run plays in this game against like 50 pass plays. What are you doing? Arizona's defense has a huge split, right? Like, they're at 74 in effective pass, they're at 116 in effective rush. They clearly are much more vulnerable against the run.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
And UCLA's bread and butter is running the football. Like, I came into this game thinking, like, yeah, maybe Arizona hangs around and scores some points, but, you know, like, UCLA is going to run away with it, right? Like, you can run the ball against Arizona, they'll be fine. And they didn't do it. And I couldn't understand, especially with the way they were getting yards.
So one more thing on this game, because I'm curious what you think. We might disagree on this. So there's a point in the game, I think it was in the fourth quarter, might have been in like late in the third, where UCLA is on its own, like 35, maybe 33, something like about 35. We'll give it a benefit of the doubt. And it's like fourth and five. It's not fourth and one or fourth and two. It's fourth and five. And Kelly goes for it. It might have been on the 40. It was like in that range. Kelly goes for it. And look, I'm not a fan. Like, I don't trust Arizona's defense as far as I can throw it, but it just struck me as like the game was still close, and that struck me as too aggressive. They don't get it. Arizona gets the ball, immediately scores a touchdown, basically. So I'm just curious what you think. 'Cause like, I know with the analytics, and like, for the most part, I get it, right? If you're in plus territory, if it's, you know, if you think you can get the yards, but your own 40 and your own 35 and it's fourth and five, that's where I think things get a little shaky.
So this one is actually less about like the analytics of like the probability of getting a first down. I think if you were going to call it analytic, like, you can run these analytics and that can tell you it, but I think a lot of these coaches also know that they have really bad defenses.
Yeah.
And that, like, and you see, like, Chip Kelly knows his defense has given up a touchdown if he gives the ball back. And I think that's it, right? Like, and I think like that having a really bad defense should cause you to be far more aggressive on fourth down. Right? I mean, because you just know, like, your defense is likely giving up a touchdown. It's likely giving up a touchdown it's like that, like, Washington gave up like a 95-yard touchdown drive. They have a really bad defense, right? Like, the Washington's probably going to give up a touchdown no matter what against Oregon. And like, it was mostly the, you know, like, the Ducks' mistakes that kept them out of the end zone. You know, like, if you're Chip Kelly, like, and you've seen Arizona carving up your defense all night, like, you just kind of feel like you've got to keep the ball and you've got to score, and you've got to put points on the board with your offense because you know your defense can't stop.
Okay, all right. On this game, I don't think it's that complicated, right? Maybe, like, you can break it down here. I just think that Arizona's rush defense sucks.
Yes.
Dickert knows this, and he's not an idiot. Like, he's going to run the ball a lot. I think you're going to see a lot of yards from Jenkins
and from Watson.
And then on the other side, like Washington State's defense is good, and they're going to pressure Delora. I don't think Delora running around is always going to lead to what you saw against UCLA. And I think the secondary of Washington State isn't terrible. It's like significantly better than UCLA's, I think. Like, what's
that? They're at 20. So Washington State's defense is at 23 overall. They're at 26 in effective pass, 26 in effective rush. I mean, this Washington State defense is legitimately good. We've seen them in person. They're tough. They're smart. You know, they swarm to the football. I think what'll be interesting, and to your point here, like, they have some guys that can cover. I don't know that they have four guys that can cover.
That's true. Yeah.
And like, so like, I'm not, I think 4 points is ludicrous. I think Washington State is a touchdown better than Arizona at Arizona. Beta Rank had it about 10 points on a neutral field with the, you know, the home field. It's about like 7.5-ish. I do think, you know, there's a huge difference between getting to go against Washington's defense or UCLA's defense or USC's defense and then getting it to go against an actual defense with a pulse.
Yeah.
But like the one stupid thing that gives me just a ton of pause here is if Cam Ward has to win this game, like if they do what they do sometimes, which is like not run the football and rely on Cam Ward, this could be a really stupid football game. And I just like, because I don't think that's going to change anything about what is like the of what could, is likely to be a pretty frustrating day for Arizona offensively, right? Like, I think Arizona is going to have some trouble in this game. I think some of Delora's scrambles that were like just him running around like that he can get away with against a bad defense, I think Washington State is going to turn into sacks. I think they could lure him into a pick or two, but. Like if this is the Cam Ward show, it's not going to work.
No,
they may still win the game, but like they could blow Arizona out by 21 points if they committed to running the football.
The one thing where I think it works with Ward, and it's funny because like we criticize it a lot, but I think against certain defenses like Arizona, I do think that Arizona is going to get screened to death also, and it's going to work. Like the tunnel screens, like I just don't trust the front seven at all. And I do trust some of the guys, the corners, but I think on these screens, you're just going to get, if that's all Ward's doing and you're running the ball for the majority of the time, like heavily run and then some screens and then like, you know, bomb one or two, just to keep them on their toes. I think that's all you need to do. And you're going to win by seven.
It just depends on their run pass split, right? Like if Washington State's at like 50-50, they might win by less than seven. If they are, I mean, they're normally like 70-30. So I just kind of worry about like that could be, if there's one thing that could make this game like closer is Vegas is like, yeah, we know what Cam Ward's going to and Washington State are going to do. They're going to try to throw the football. And that's a mistake against Arizona. Like, not that Arizona's got some good pass defense. You're just not taking advantage of the opportunities that are really in front of you.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so you're taking Washington State?
I'm taking
State?
Wazoo. Okay. I trust the defense.
Well, UCLA has a big chance to redeem itself, right? They're a 2.5-point dog at home against USC. We've been kind of hinting at this, or at least I have for the last couple of weeks. I mean, I just think that USC has a real chance to drop the ball for the entire conference now that Oregon and UCLA have lost. They ended up beating Colorado 55-17.
They were running up the score.
Yeah, that was the takeaway I had was Lincoln Riley doesn't give an F about your feelings. Like he's like, nope, because
he and Josh Heupel know what they're like. They're like, listen, like there are no points for being nice with the playoff committee.
Absolutely. And it was weird because the first quarter and a half of this, I watched this pretty much this whole game. The first quarter and a half, I'm like, uh-oh, because I had bet and we had taken, I think it was like 34, 34 and a half or so. It was a really big spread. And in the first quarter, it's a safety and a field goal. And I'm like, oh, no. But ultimately, Colorado showed its true self. And USC was able to take care of business in the next three quarters. And yeah, at the end, they were able to cover because Miller Moss came in and scored two touchdown drives. The first was with a run. It was either, I think it was a handoff. And then the second one, he threw it in with like 6 seconds left or whatever in the game. I'm like, let's freaking go. Like, step on the throat. You know, that's
mercy is for the weak.
Absolutely. And like, other than that, I don't think really there's anything else to gain from this game. Fontenot was able to run. I think that maybe that's it. Was like USC gave up 100 yards rushing to Colorado, but it wasn't like they gave up 300 or 250. It was like with sacks around 135. And
yeah,
I still think the defense sucks. But any other takeaways from this game?
I mean, this is a better game than like Oregon's defense had against Colorado.
Yeah, I should have opened with this. Travis Dye got hurt, so that was a problem.
Yeah.
So it's really a bummer that he's out. An excellent running back. He's been in the conference for years, really showed out at Oregon. So I should have opened with that. And I think it looks like he's out for the year. I mean, like Riley, I said, either praying with him or giving him like a really, really close pep talk, which is a total bummer. So, but even then, right. Austin Jones is nice to have him as your second back, and they got a bunch of guys behind him.
I mean, like, this is going to be a shootout, man. this could be like some stupid game where it somehow turns not into a shootout, but like coming into this game, like USC has the number 4 offensive beta rank. They're at number 5 in effective pass, number 29 in effective rush. They get a UCLA defense that is 77 overall. You can absolutely put drives together against them. They're at 121 in drive efficiency. They are at 67 in effective rush, 83 in effective pass. I mean, like sneakily, like a little bit under the hood, like Arizona ran the ball against UCLA too.
Yep.
And Lincoln Riley's got a better run scheme and offensive line than Arizona. USC has a special teams advantage, 26 in special teams versus 93. But here's where you flip it around and you're like, well, so UCLA is at number 7 on offense. They're at number 5 in drive efficiency, number 11 in explosive drives. And they're at number 6 in effective rush, 27 in effective pass. They get a defense that's 82 for USC, 84 in effective rush, 76 in effective pass. The beta rank has this as UCLA, like this on a neutral field, it would be USC by 3, like a little over 3. It's basically got this because this is at the Rose Bowl as a pick'em. And I don't know, I could see it. Like what worries me about this being a pick'em is if they have to rely on DTR throwing them into this, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can. Like USC's defense is bad. But that, like, I don't know. I just like if I really thought coming into this that they were just going to show up and just pound the ball on USC, which they could do. It's like maybe it's just having watched that Arizona game. And I'm like, do I trust Chip Kelly to like just do the smart thing all the time?
and the thing that worries, like, right, I'm going to take UCLA. I've been saying I'm going to do it like basically all year. But what you just said worries me a little bit. And the other thing one thing to mention is, I mean, UCLA has like 2 wide receivers that are awesome, likely out of this game, right? Addison and Williams are probably out, I think. They didn't play in the game against Arizona. Maybe they're saving.
Addison played against Colorado.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
They
shuffled him in a little bit. He didn't play all game, but yeah, he played some.
Okay. All right. I take that back. My apologies. I'm curious how healthy they are. Because like you saw a lot of Taj Washington and like Brendan Rice and Kyle Ford and that stuff. So I think they're banged up. The thing that worries me on the other end is, holy Moses, UCLA's secondary looked awful against Arizona and they haven't been good all year. And like Williams is going to just gun that ball down the field, but they're at home. It sounds like right now I'm going into like sportscaster narrative. It's good that they lost against a team to get focused for USC. I think it's true in this game. I just think UCLA has what it takes to put up points against USC and force USC on, you know, to react. And that doesn't happen often. So I'll take UCLA.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. Like, I think this is a really tight game. I think what UCLA does well though, is they contain big plays. They don't give up a ton of big plays, 29 in explosive drives. I think if they could force USC to have to drive the length of the field, I think that could hurt them. I think Travis Dye being out could hurt them. And Addison, I don't think is going to be 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Great game. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this game all year. And my grandpa's from like LA. So I'm going to be able to watch this with him live. I'm so excited. Like it. And we're going to have money on the game. It's going to be awesome. So UCLA.
Well, it came down too. I mean, it opened at USC by 4 and it's come down to 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Get those lines early, man. Get them early. All right. Next game. Let's do, we already talked about Colorado. So let's talk about them playing Washington.
Okay. This will be quick.
Yeah. Colorado 31-point favorite. We don't really need to talk a ton about Colorado. What we should talk about is Washington's win over Oregon. I mean, that's the big story here. Again, we covered this more at the beginning of the it was just fun, right? Like Penix threw a pick six in the red zone and they still won this game. I want to talk about one thing, and there's some other things to talk about, but so you have Oregon on their, you know, on Washington's 3 yard line or something, right? And it's like fourth and one, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, like Washington can't stop the run, so yeah, just freaking do it, go for it. And all of a sudden you have six wide receivers and the quarterback line up on one side and like one guy with his accountant in the center. And then you have,
like, they're going to run like a swinging gate. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the other side, everybody has party hats on, like on the left side, they're all grouped together. And I'm like, what? And like, you know, and all of a sudden they run towards the center and they hike it and fumble the football. And I'm like, what? Like Washington's defense is garbage. And you have Bucky Irving and an offensive line that has been like has been meticulously recruited for 4 years by an offensive line coach. What in the hell was that? I was furious at what they ran. I mean, like, look, and I bet on Oregon, so but like I just wanted a good game in general, and I was, what did you like? Just freaking get the ball in the end zone. Like you could do a sneak, you could do a halfback. Like there's so many things you could do besides that play. And I just thought they got too cute by not even half, but you know, by a million, and it cost them.
Yeah. I mean, it really looked, I mean, it felt like I was like, oh man, that was a Jed Fish type call.
Yes,
like,
yes,
I mean, like the man, I was like, what do we do? Cause it's like, in case those of you that don't watch the entire conference, like we do, I mean, although if you're paying attention to this, you probably do watch some of it. It's like, nobody loves gadget plays like Jed Fish. It felt like something like that. And really, too, I was a little surprised because I feel like Dillingham, their offensive coordinator, has been ruthless as a play caller and like just efficient. And I thought that they would stick with that. It was definitely an odd one. It felt like something they really felt confident that they were saying. I mean, it's hard to say that like the like it looks particularly dumb because then they went and fumbled. You know, maybe they end up fumbling, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. But it was bad. That was really bad. And then, I mean, like, I mean, kudos to Washington, who could not stop. I mean, neither of these defenses really did much in the way of stopping, you know, but like Washington really was not like, I mean, they gave up 6.1 per carry to Oregon, but they got a handful of stops, you know, when it really mattered, when Oregon lined up to run the football. I mean, Penix was awesome. I mean, like, we knew this coming in. Like, Washington was like, I mean, I did think Washington mixed in enough run and they got some yards when they did it. So I don't want to take it like, but like, we knew it was going to be the Michael Penix show because that's what Washington's offense has been all season. And he just lit up Oregon. Oh my goodness, the secondary is bad.
The thing that I found fascinating, there were the two other points, actually. The first is, just like we saw in the Friday game against Oregon State that has a good defense, and this game against Oregon, Penix pulled so many fourth and one, third and eight, like just a lot. I'm curious, what is their drive efficiency? Because they have just nailed, at least in the last two games, those third down, fourth down plays that they needed.
No. This is one of the fascinating things about this Washington offense. So they're at number 13 overall in beta rank. They're at number 4 in drive efficiency, but there are only 29 in explosive drives, which is like unusual because they're the number 2 pass, like they're the number 2 pass offense in college football behind Tennessee. They do an incredible job keeping the chains moving, right? And like that's one of the things that I think with Penix too is like they do take some deeper shots when they throw the football. And so that can sometimes put him in like they're going to hit more third downs and they have absolute confidence that they're going to get them.
Yeah. They're kind of like bizarro Arizona, right? Arizona's long and short and Washington
Arizona's
does a lot.
All explosive plays. Arizona is insane. Like they have no drive efficiency. Like Jed Fish is like the all home run offense.
Yeah. But Penix can toss it, but they do a lot of that midfield, like 15 yards, 8 yards. And I like that. They just keep that ball moving.
Oh, that whole shot he hit for that last touchdown. Yeah. Like where the guy swung out and like a whole shot. I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners know this. Like, a hole shot is when the corner's playing wall coverage and stops like at 10 or 15 yards. And then the receiver, once he gets past that, is the safety's responsibility. If you're playing too deep, sometimes that is a little bit of a space for that safety to run to. And there's a gap before the safety gets there between the corner and the safety, and Penix hit the receiver along the sideline in that hole shot. That's an NFL type throw. I mean, I'm not saying Penix is like, I mean, he's going to get drafted, but I'm not saying he's like a first round pick or something like that. But like those kind of throws where you can put it to the sideline like that and beat the safety to the spot so that your guy can run in, like, that was a hell of a throw.
If you want to know, like, if you didn't watch this game and you should, and you want to know what Rob's talking about, just look up the highlights and you'll know exactly what throw it is, because the safety is like, oh no.
You see the corner stop, right?
Yep.
And release, and then it's the safety's man, and like, it's like, oh.
And he was on it pretty quick. Like, that was the, I think what made it even better was his the safety's instincts were good. Penix just chucked that ball so fast. Like, that was what was crazy about it. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was so good. Last thing to talk about here, you know, we're talking about 2 cute by half. Another onside kick.
Yeah.
It worked against UCLA, and I think it was needed in this game. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Did you hear DeBoer too?
No.
So DeBoer today was asked about the onside kick, and he said that they noticed that they knew something was up because Oregon sent out the guys with different numbers were lining up in different positions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So just FYI, like, if you're going to run the surprise onside kick, you need to have it look exactly like your regular kick.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. I just thought that Oregon had a chance to win this game. And I think there was two. Now, the onside only cost them 3 points, but that's 7 right there. Trying to be too cute. And that's the game. Or that's 10. That's 10 points between those two plays, and that's the game. Obviously, you know, there's more than that, but it's a bummer. It's a missed opportunity, and I think Oregon had a chance, real chance at the playoff if they had played it a little bit more conservative, which is weird. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but I thought that...
I mean, like, Oregon, like, look, Oregon, like, the offense played really well. They just, like, this was one of those games, like, where their defense was so bad and Washington's offense is so good. It wasn't like the defenses were going to get stops. It was whichever offenses made the most mistakes, basically, and blinked. And Oregon ended up, unfortunately for the Ducks, like, they ended up with more of the mistakes.
Yeah.
But a really good, I mean, like, I don't want, like, this is a really, really, really good Oregon offense. Like, I thought Dillingham was going to be an interesting hire. I thought he was a good hire. I didn't think that he was going to be this good this season.
Yeah.
And this has really worked out, I think, for the Ducks. They've got to figure out something on this defense. Holy Moses.
Yeah. And Franklin, whew, and Bucky Irvin, you're right. Yeah. I'm glad, like, right. It feels like we're dumping on Oregon, but like, this is one of the more fun offenses I've seen in a number of years. So very, and Bo Nix had another good game. When it comes to Washington, Colorado, I'm going to take the 31. I think, and for two reasons. The first is Washington's defense sucks. And I think that I think that Colorado is going to be able to run the ball and just try to sit on it as much as humanly possible. And it's a hangover game. Like, you just went to Oregon and beat Oregon. Now you got to come home and play this dumb Colorado game, and you're going to give me 31 points. I've lived dangerously with Colorado, and for the most part, it's worked out for me. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to take the 31, and I'm going to pray for a dumb game. And I don't think there's no world where I think Colorado wins, but I do think they're going to get 17 points and maybe a little bit more than that. And I'm just going to hope that their defense can not be the worst in the country, which it's kind of close to it. So do you think?
Like, the Washington run defense isn't bad. I think their teams are often choosing to throw in every possible situation against Washington because their pass defense is so bad.
That's true.
Because we've got it. Their pass defense is at 115. Their run defense is at 22. But they're a problem. I mean, like, Baderink has this at like almost 38. Which, if Washington had not just beat Oregon, I'd be like, oh, yeah, take that. Like, the Huskies are going to blow them out. I'm going to take Washington here. And the only reason I'm doing it is because they lost to Colorado last year. And I think that there's enough memory of that, even with the Oregon win.
I forgot about that. What a dumb
thing. Like that stupid, stupid loss to Colorado that they had last year.
Oh, my God.
I think that, like, which was that, like, did they fire Jimmy Lake after that? Like, it was...
there's so many games where they should have.
So many stupid things.
Okay. All right. And I do remember that game where ASU fumbled six times. It took me a little while, but that was also a dumb game. Okay. Next game. I mean, like, just another whopper here. Utah is getting 3 points on the road against Oregon.
That's That's come up. Like, it opened at Oregon plus one. Oregon, yeah, minus one.
And I get it, right? Like, you take a look at this game. It's Oregon at home. Utah. I mean, like, is there anything else we should talk about Utah? I always feel Utah has been a product of its own success. Like, it's been hampered by its own success on this podcast. We rarely talk about Utah because they blow out all the dumb teams, and you're just like, oh, yep, Utah did the thing they was supposed to do. So
again, once more,
you know, they just beat the tie. Anything to say about their game against Stanford?
No, I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's like, it's hard because, like, Stanford is so, so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, Utah's like, they took care. I mean, they've taken care of, like, the two bad teams that they played the last 2 weeks, you know, like, and I mean, like, if you could take something away that I think in, like, their pass coverage has looked better the last 2 weeks than they have at other points of the season. And that would be a good thing to be carrying into this game here. I hesitate to say, like, I mean, that they're all of a sudden going to turn around and run the ball really well, because they ran the ball really well the last 2 weeks, because Arizona and Stanford, of course, have really bad pass or run defenses. They're going to have to show up and throw it against the Ducks. That's how you beat Oregon.
So I initially wanted to take Utah, and I think what I had this was as Oregon by 5.
Okay.
But I mean, Oregon's good and they're at home and they're going to score, because Utah's defense is fine. It's not great. Utah also is not great against mobile quarterbacks. That's always been kind of an issue for them. And Bo Nix has had a hell of a year doing everything for on the ground and through the air. They just got punched in the mouth by Washington. I'm a little nervous. Like, I really wanted to take Utah because I don't trust Oregon's defense. But I do think that Utah's defense is significantly better than Washington's. It's just
a,
like,
lot better.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
Here's the watch outs in this game, right? Like, so here's, like, Gatorade's got Utah by a point. It opened in Vegas, Oregon by a point. Like, it's not off by a lot here.
Yeah.
So I think Utah's going to be able to show up and throw the football, right? I think Vele, I think Kincaid, I think Utah is going to be able to find some guys open and carve up this Oregon defense. I think they're also going to be able to run the ball a little bit. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball like they have against, you know, like we talked about Arizona and Stanford. You know, this Oregon defense is bad, but they're a different animal defending the run for sure. And I think Utah's going to have some better field position, because I do think that their defense is going to force some stops here and there, right?
Yeah.
But here's my biggest concern with this Utah defense. They're at 27 in beta rank right now. They do a really good job with drive efficiency. Their offense usually gives them good field position. They find ways to get off the field and not give up points. But they are at 43 in explosive drives. Oregon is the number 6 offense in beta rank. They're at number 3 in explosive drives. Oregon is big plays for points. Now, Utah's defense is at number 15 in effective rush. Their front 7 does a pretty good job plugging holes, making it difficult to run inside. Now, we saw against Arizona, for some reason, gave up running the ball off tackle. But, like, for the most part, Utah does a good job with that. They're at 15 in effective rush. They're at 52 in effective pass. You can throw the ball against Utah. You can. They've done a better job with coverage. Against Arizona, you could see like what worked was they were sending blitzers. Like they're because the real vulnerability of this U team is they don't have a good pass rush. And that's what worries me in this game.
Yeah.
Is Utah, I don't think that like Oregon's got a really good offensive line. And I think if Nick has all day, he's going to carve these guys up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've adjusted my expectations for Utah. If this was Utah, the team that blew the doors off of the Ducks 2 years in a row or two games in a row, like it's just a different team. And this is a different offense, and it's not the Mario Cristobal offense. It's, and he's not checked out of the game, and it's at Autzen. Like I just, you know, Utah has won there before, but I'll take Oregon. I know the numbers say to take Utah, but I'll pick Oregon, and you know, and it'll just be a good, I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I think this is going to be a really excellent game.
No, I think this should Oregon's defense is still bad. Like Utah's going to get their points. I don't think Utah's pass defense outside of Clark Phillips is as good as they have looked the past 2 weeks too. And I think, you know, I don't think they can cover long enough. And I think Oregon can pick up if Utah sends in pressure. But that might be what determines this game, is if Utah can pressure Knicks, Udo with blitzers without giving up too much in coverage. And they're going to have to, right? Because the Fillinger's out. They struggle getting pressure. And he's not even that great this season. Like, he may be somebody that develops down the road. But he's not there right now. And he was their best guy.
I'll take Oregon. I feel great about it, but that's why this game is like a big one, because I just think that it's funny, because a lot of the games that we've talked about, it's basically the same team with just different jerseys, right? Bad defense, great offense.
Yeah.
And this is different because Utah has an okay
balance.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little weird. It's weird because like the first time there's been a balanced team in the conference that we talked about.
I mean, like Oregon's not going to like march up and down and score all the time, right? Like they're going to absolutely have some moments like where they're going to end up punting a few times in this game for sure against this Utah defense.
Yeah.
You know, and like this Utah offense is going to, I mean, this Oregon defense isn't great, but Utah's not set up like Washington to exploit their biggest weakness, right?
Yeah.
And so Utah's going to have a couple punts in this game too. Like, this isn't going to, like, I mean, both these teams should still end up putting up points, but this isn't going to be like trading haymakers like it was with, you know, even with like Utah and USC or, you know, like Oregon or Washington. Like, I think this game, like this game will be a little bit closer. Honestly, like this is like, if this is at Utah, you're taking the Utes, right? Like 100%.
Yeah.
With that home field advantage. But like, I think in this case, like in particular, like Oregon should be just like we talked about with UCLA after the dumb loss to Arizona, like Oregon should have, their coaches should have their attention pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else to mention? How's the FBS model doing? Or FCS?
It's doing really well. I'm excited. Like, it's going to be like, it's definitely locked in a bit more. There's some conferences out there, like the Southern Conference, which play like a really weird non-conference schedule in FCS where they just don't play enough non-conference games. But like, there's some of the other conferences are really locked in. I feel like it's done a terrific job on the Big Sky. Keep an eye out because it will have Montana favored over Montana State, even though Montana State has a better record coming into this weekend.
What's the spur? Like, how big?
Montana by 7.
And what does the model have?
No, but I mean the model has it Montana by 7. I haven't seen an FCS line yet. These usually come out a little bit later. But I say, like, keep an eye out for that one because, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Montana State favored in that game. But Montana's played the much tougher, like, the Big Sky is really good. And Montana State has not played all the tough teams in the Big Sky. the way Montana has had to. Like Sacramento State is one of the best teams in FCS football, and Montana State has not had to play them. Montana has. They also like, I mean, God, FCS football is super weird. Like Montana State beat Weber State, who's really good. They had three safeties in that game. I mean, like just like I opened up the box, like I was going through the actual box score. I was like, what the heck happened in this game? And like three safeties. But they almost lost, like Montana State almost lost to NAU 2 weeks ago. Like their defense is not there. And they're going to go up against a really, really good Montana defense. But that's like there's we're going to have the FCS playoffs announced after this week. So I'm going to try to do an FCS playoff preview type show. Should be fun.
Oh, that'd be super fun. Well, keep a lookout for that. SharpCollegeFootball.com, YouTube, Sharp College Football. Rob does a Saturday six, and I'm excited. I'm excited to look at some FCS stuff. It's the dog days of the bowls. You know, when teams just don't care anymore. Bowl season used to be so fun. And again, it's like there was never like a pure glory year for bowls. But I'm kind of excited about the FCS playoffs. That'll be kind of fun.
I'm pumped about the FCS playoffs with this modeling in it. Now I'm like really invested. I'm like, oh, no, we're going to have like an FCS playoff watch party. Like that's happening.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. Well, stay tuned for that. When do those start, by the way? When do the playoffs start?
Oh, that's a great question that I don't know the answer to because this is my first year doing an FCS model.
you're going to get so many like... So many like Twitter and YouTube comments, you know, from people that have been watching this for like 20 years.
Yeah. Even watch. I had somebody that was like, you don't have North Dakota State number one. I'm like, yeah, I don't.
Well, stay tuned for that. We'll get you all that stuff here soon. SharpCollegeFootball.com. We will catch you next week for Rivalry Week. Have a good week, everyone.